Well, good morning once again. It is awesome to worship with you, and I just can't help but real quick just honor the fact of last week and how awesome and exciting it was that we were able to be together and celebrate our risen King. And that's something we should celebrate together, the fact that this place was filled with people, that so many came to seek Jesus on that day. And we should be celebrating that as a church. So can we just take a moment and celebrate the fact that last week was incredible here in this place? So let's celebrate together. Come on. Yeah. See, the thing is, Jesus lived a perfect sinless life. He died sacrificially for you and for me, and he rose again in glory, defeating all of death and the grave. But that is not the end of the story, amen? Come on, church, I need you with me today. See, Jesus continued before and after his death and resurrection. He continued to tell them there is more. There's more. And there's more for you, and there's more for me. And it's still available today. And so often, we just stop at the resurrection. And we stop short of the fullness of the gospel. See, the full good news that Jesus told us, the full good news Jesus shared with us, was that there is forgiveness and freedom of our sins, but there is a gift for you and for me, and that is the Holy Spirit. And today we are diving into what does it mean to live in the very power and the presence of the Spirit. This gift was promised over and over and over again for us. But what does it mean? See, in the very beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus, he's with his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. And Luke, the author of Acts, tells us these words in Acts 1, 2 through 5. He says, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. It's just talking about what's happening here. And then it says, during 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to all of the apostles time and time and time again. And he proved to them in many ways that he was alive. It's talking about Jesus. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And then once when he was eating with them, he commanded of them. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Here's the disciples. They're together with Jesus, and they're told, stay here where you're at. Stay in Jerusalem and just wait. Just wait for the Holy Spirit that's coming to you. The Holy Spirit who will instruct you, who will guide you. And then later in that same conversation, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, they're told again, they said, Jesus tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. You'll be telling people all about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Then Jesus ascends to heaven. It's like he told them, he said, wait for this power. Here's what's coming. Wait for it, and wait for it, and wait for it. It's going to come. And then he says, when it does come, this is what's going to happen. Power is going to be with you. You will become my witnesses to all of the earth. And then he leaves. And so they're sitting. They're waiting. They're probably asking the question, well, what's next? What's next? It's like an ultimate cliffhanger here for the disciples. We've gotten really, really good at using cliffhangers in our entertainment, in our world. There's a TV show that you may have heard of. It's no longer running, but it's called Friends. I don't know if you've heard of that one. It was kind of under the radar for a while. But there's one episode that comes to mind. My wife is shaking her head because she's a huge Friends fan, and I'm not. But there's one episode that I know because I've seen it when she has it on TV. And it's this moment where Ross is at his wedding. And it's at the end of season 4. And Ross is at his wedding and he's getting married to this woman named Emily. But as the pastor is doing the ceremony, Ross doesn't say Emily's name. He says his ex's name, Rachel, in the wedding ceremony. And then the season's over. And you have to wait and wait for months for the next season, for season 5 to come out. And do you want to know how effective that cliffhanger was at the end of season 4? 31.1 million viewers tuned in to watch the season 5 premiere. They were waiting in great anticipation for what was to come. Here we have the disciples, and they're waiting in a real anticipation for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is not for entertainment purposes, but it's the real power and presence of Himself in us. And they're waiting and they're longing for this presence inside of them. For the disciples, they were waiting for the promise to fall, to guide them, to lead them, so that others can know who Jesus is. And it happens. We're a little early, but there's a day called Pentecost in the church. And that happens a while later, but I can't help but talk about it now when it happens in Acts 2 that we read of this day of Pentecost. And it's the day that the Holy Spirit falls on the house that they are in. And Scripture tells us there's a mighty gust, a huge windstorm that comes and it's felt throughout the room. And the Holy Spirit fills the disciples. They begin to speak in different tongues and languages. And there's fire and it's just amazing, amazing event in Scripture. And we're told that people from all over, they hear the rumble of the wind. They hear what has happened. And they go and they investigate the Holy Spirit and what's happening in the disciples' lives. And when they get there, they see the disciples are talking in different languages. And they don't understand how that they can all understand what the disciples are saying. And the disciples, it feels like they're in talking and babbling. They're confused. They're amazed. They're perplexed. And then some of them even say, man, they must be drunk. And then Peter steps up. And as he steps up, he says, guys, it's only the morning. There's no way we're drunk. And then he tells them what's happening. And he tells the people who were outside of this room about the Holy Spirit. And he says, well, it's from a prophecy. And you know the prophecy. The prophecy is found in the book of Joel. And in this prophecy says that on that day, I will pour my Spirit out on all people. And he says, this is what has happened. God's Spirit has been poured out on all of us. And thousands came to know Jesus that day. God's Holy Spirit is a promise, not just to the disciples, but it's a promise to you and to me. It's available to us now, yet we fail to receive and to live in His power and presence. And maybe we're like some of those who weren't in that room with the disciples. Maybe we're sometimes confused. We're perplexed. We're amazed, and we love hearing about the power of the Spirit. But yet we just don't understand. See, as we're diving into the series about what next, that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about Holy Spirit. And today we're going to answer just a few questions for you. Hopefully, that's our goal. And today we want to ask two questions. Who's Holy Spirit? And why does it matter? And so who is Holy Spirit? To start, Holy Spirit's a member of the Godhead. What that means is that He is given all the attributes of God. Holy Spirit's used in equal standing with the Father and the Son, referred to as God and as completing the same purposes in the world as the Father and the Son. Holy Spirit is God. Same essential nature, power, same eternity is found, as found in the Father and the Son. And so here's what we mean by that. How do we know that? How do we know that the Holy Spirit is God? Well, they have the same characteristics. See, Holy Spirit is eternal. In the very beginning of the Bible, we are introduced to Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, 1 through 2, here is what it says. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the C minus. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Did you hear that? The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right from the start, He's there. Hebrews 9:14 tells us, for by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. The Old and New Testament all agree, from the very beginning of time, the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is there. Holy Spirit is present at creation, present a number of times in the Old Testament. I'm reading the book of Genesis, and through the story of Joseph, we're told that God's Spirit is with Joseph when he's in prison. You hear of it. He's there. Holy Spirit is there. And we're going to dive into that more next week. He's promised throughout all of Scripture, through the prophets, and through Jesus Himself. And Holy Spirit, because He is eternal, is still alive and active today. He's available, working in ways you and I don't even know or see, but we can become aware of His presence. That's why we pray those prayers. Holy Spirit, make us more aware of Your presence. One of the other ways we know that Holy Spirit's part of the Godhead is because He's omniscient. What that means is He's all-knowing. And we're told about this in 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11. It says, But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything, and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that own person's spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. We know that God knows all. And if the Spirit knows God's thoughts, the Spirit knows all, right? How else we know He's all-knowing? Jesus, just before His crucifixion, He's talking with His disciples, and He talks to them about Holy Spirit. And He says, Holy Spirit will come and will lead you in all truth. The Holy Spirit knows all truth, all that we need to know. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing and leads us to know all that we need to know. We also know Holy Spirit's omnipresent. That means that He's everywhere present. I love how David writes in Psalm 139:7. He cries out, he says, I can never escape from Your Spirit. He's not too happy about it, but he cries out, I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. The Holy Spirit's with us always, everywhere, living in you. When you've put your faith in Jesus, one of the gifts we have is the Holy Spirit inside of us. However, there's times where you and I get in our own way. And we're not aware of the Holy Spirit. See, many of us have a problem where we need a real, tangible, experiential understanding of the Holy Spirit's presence. And that is gifted to us in moments. We get experiences with Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit who decides when that happens. What that means is we have to trust in the omnipresence of Holy Spirit. Even when we can't feel Him, we still have to trust, and we can ask to be more aware of His presence. And we can even seek him more and more by the language we use in our prayers. And as we're reading, we can seek Holy Spirit more. And Holy Spirit's omnipotent. That means that he's all powerful. Here's one example found in Luke 1:35. The angel replied, talking to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." This is one example of the power Holy Spirit has. Holy Spirit is so powerful that he can create life where there is no life. That's what he did with Jesus. Holy Spirit heals broken bodies, heals broken spirits, and is also our comfort, our guide, our source of truth, brings us back to the Father and our hearts back to him. Holy Spirit has to be really, really powerful in order to do all of those things. If you and I tried on our own, we would fail miserably. But we need Holy Spirit because he and he alone is all powerful. And all of these attributes, the fact that he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all of these characteristics are in God the Father, in Jesus the Son. They're all members of this Godhead, the Trinity. And what is so interesting is there's three distinct persons, but there's one distinct God, nature, person. What this means is Holy Spirit is a paradox. A paradox is something that contains a contradiction but remains true. A contradiction is two statements in which one can only be true and one can be false. And so here's an example of a paradox for you. There you go. A paradox is a self-contradictory statement. And so here you go. The sentence on the left is false, and the sentence on the left is true. I think that's supposed to be right. Anyway, whatever. It's all good. Here's some better examples. Less is more. That's right. You got me? Less is more. The only constant is change. That's a paradox. You have to spend money to make money. The only rule is there are no rules. I can resist anything except temptation. The more you know, the more you don't know. If you don't risk anything, you risk even more. So the paradox that we are dealing with is the Trinity. The Trinity is a paradox. It feels raw. It feels weird to us. And so here's what I mean. There's three members of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the B plus. We're getting there. But here's the paradox. The Father is God, but the Father is not the Son or the Spirit. And the Son is God, but the Son is not the Father or Spirit. And the Spirit is God, but the Spirit is not the Father or the Son. Weird, right? They're all one God, but yet they're all distinct on their own. I want to point you to this image here. It's called a Penrose triangle. And as you can see, there's three different shades on it. There's the gray, the black, and the white. And this triangle is actually a paradox in itself, because this triangle cannot exist outside of a 2D form. It can only exist like this on paper. And while I know that all analogies, I don't know the word that I want to look for there. All of these break down into heresy at some point of the Holy Spirit, okay? I just know that. I'm trying not to be heretical. I'm just acknowledging that, just so you know. But when we look at this in a 3D model, this is what it looks like. This is in Perth, Australia. They have a monument of what's called the Penrose Triangle, and it's just in a random roundabout. And so as you can see here on the far left side, there's what looks like a bent field goal post. The University of Michigan, they got too excited when they won the national championship and messed that up.
I got to throw that in there as much as I can.
But then as you move and you adjust your awareness or you adjust your perception, you start to see it a little closer. And then once you're finally in the right spot, you can actually see the illusion of the Penrose Triangle.
So why does this matter?
See, so often we only function in our belief with the Father and the Son. And maybe we move a little closer to the middle image. Maybe we talk about Holy Spirit a bit. But yet in practice, we miss it. And maybe, just maybe, we have to adjust ourselves and our perspective to see the fullness of who God is. See, Holy Spirit matters because He is God. To ignore Holy Spirit is to deny part of God. It takes away part of the promise that has been given to us. And to not believe in Holy Spirit and to not acknowledge Holy Spirit goes against Scripture. And goes against the very promise that God and Jesus have given to us. Holy Spirit's the fullness of the good news. Part of the promise. We are promised that God is with us, Emmanuel. That wasn't just in Jesus, but Emmanuel is the Holy Spirit, God in us. Holy Spirit is available to us. All we need to do is believe. We need to believe that Jesus died for us, that He was raised from the dead, believe that we are forgiven and freed, and believe that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and transforms us fully. The problem is most of us don't live fully or allow Holy Spirit the space to work and move in our lives. We don't live and operate out of the power and the presence of God's very Spirit in us. Maybe we just think it's a cool story. Maybe we just think it's something that we can maybe know of, but not really experience. And most of the time, it's because of our view of Holy Spirit. Because our view of Holy Spirit shapes the very way we respond to the promptings we receive from Him. See, we asked the question earlier, who, not what, is Holy Spirit? And I've tried really, really hard not to use the word the when talking about Holy Spirit. I failed, I know that. But oftentimes we use the in front of His name. And when we do that, it allows us to view Holy Spirit as an object. And when we view Him as an object, that means we can do with Him what we want at our disposal. We can use Him how we see fit. Oftentimes that means because we're afraid, because there's some unknown, we put Holy Spirit in storage. Holy Spirit is the daily felt, experiential presence of God. And He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. Dr. Stephen Elliott, he's the National Superintendent of the Wesleyan Church of Canada. He said this when talking about Holy Spirit. He said, many of us are triune in doctrine. We believe in the Trinity. Then he says, but we are biune in our practice. We leave out Holy Spirit. He actually invites his students to go to different churches. And as they're at different churches, he says, count on your hands how many times Father and Son are mentioned. God and Jesus, count. And then on the other hand, count how many times Holy Spirit's mentioned. See, sometimes we do good talking about Him. Sometimes maybe we even pray with Him in mind. But in our daily lives, in our practices, we don't operate under His power and presence. We don't seek to listen to His still small voice. Now, I wonder today if we still believe that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is still available to us. I wonder if we still believe that the same healing power is available to us here and now. I wonder if we believe that the power that came on the day of Pentecost, the power that we heard of that happened at Asbury, the experience there just a year or so ago, I wonder if we believe that's He, Holy Spirit, is available to us right here and right now. See, the Bible says it, so why don't we believe it? Maybe it's because there's mystery. Our brains can't understand the Holy Spirit. And honestly, our culture doesn't do well with mystery. We apply the scientific method to everything, including our faith. We come up with hypotheses, and then we try to run tests to see if it comes true. And our faith does have some rationale to it and some logic. But I'm going to tell you, all things can't be explained. That's why it's called faith. And we need to have more faith and be okay with some mystery. And sometimes because there's mystery, it leads us to stopping short because of our issues with control. We want to control every single thing in our lives. And we can't control Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit feels like the wind. We never know when He's coming. Have you ever tried to control the wind? Good luck. I try to control my 2-year-old. Doesn't work. See, we have this idea that because Jesus was human and had some human limitations, the Spirit should feel that way too. But Holy Spirit is different from the Son, but yet same essential nature, paradox. And because of all of our control issues that we have, and because of the mystery, it often leads us to a place of fear. See, we don't know what to expect, and when we don't know, that can feel really, really scary. The unknown is scary simply because we just don't know. Our fears, though, are not meant to stop us from having faith. I would argue that our fear is meant to push us to have more faith. Our fear lets us know that we are not the ones in control, and there is someone greater than us who is in control. And our faith is meant to remind us that we are to believe in Him, the one who is in control. So our fear shouldn't stop us short, but our fear should lead us to a greater faith in the God who is in control. And maybe we don't believe it because we're simply unwilling to. Maybe we just lack trust. Maybe we aren't willing to just wait and seek. See, we've become so accustomed to our life as it is, we don't want any change. And Holy Spirit brings change in your life. And so then it's our own unwillingness that stops us from growing more and more and more. The thing is, we are meant to lean into the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are to run to Him, not away from Him. See, Jesus in Acts 1:8 tells us, He says, "But you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Our prayer is that during not just this series, but the rest of our time together, the rest of our lives, we want to seek Holy Spirit together. Amen? And we want to seek Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses, just as Jesus called us to be. Because our world is unbelieving. And we have the power available to us to help an unbelieving world know Jesus.
See, Holy Spirit, he is all powerful. He is all knowing. He's present everywhere. He's eternal, and he is available to us all. I just want to invite you to pray with me, to invite him to us. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are, that you are good, you are all powerful, you are all knowing. And you knew that we needed your Son, Jesus, who went to the cross on our behalf and died for our sins, but was raised to life, defeating death in the grave. And Jesus, we're thankful for you, the Son, who went to the cross and who also promised us Holy Spirit. And Jesus, when you ascended into heaven, you said, "My Spirit will come upon you," and it did. And Holy Spirit, we know you are here right now. So we ask for an awareness of your presence. Holy Spirit, would you give us a moment with you? Remind us you are here now. Speak to us. And as we leave this place, Holy Spirit, lead us in all truth. Help us by your power to be a witness to the ends of the earth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just have one question for you as we leave this place. Holy Spirit, he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's available to you. Do you believe it? You're dismissed.